verse 22 is where we are. And when Jesus spoke these words, this was in answer to Peter's question that we find in a previous verse. Where there the Bible tells us that Peter comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, he says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Now, first of all, we need to understand some things culturally. You see, back in those days, in the Jewish culture, one was expected to forgive his brother at least three times. It was sort of like three strikes and you're out. Now, you see what Peter did. Peter said, "Now, if my brother sins against me, I'm going to forgive Andrew seven times." Now, what he did was he took the standard three and then he doubled that and then he threw one in for good measure. Down south, we call that laying yap. Jesus' response is that forgiveness has nothing to do with numbers. It has nothing to do with keeping score. And to prove that, Jesus goes on then, and that's why verse 22, this is the previous verse, verse 23 begins with the word therefore. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. The subject that Jesus is helping us to understand is the command. It is not simply something that God might want us to maybe think about. This is a command. God expects us. He wants us. We are obligated to forgive each other. Now, having said that, I would like to pause and first of all and always acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. I would like to use the words of the psalmist from the 130th Psalm at verse 3 beginning. Where there the psalmist says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, none of us could stand. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." And let me tell you what, folks, we need to fear God because he is the Almighty God. And because it is before him, again, that we live and move and have our very being. And so I'm grateful to God for his forgiveness. I'm grateful for his mercy and for his grace. And I'm grateful for all the blessings that God provides, the material blessings, but especially those spiritual blessings that can be found in Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for the good work here. And I'm grateful for your kind and warm invitation for me to come with my lovely bride, Bessie, to worship and work with you in this special effort. I'm grateful for the words of encouragement that you have shared with me, and I'm grateful certainly for the opportunity to stand before you and to use the word of God to encourage us all. I'm grateful for the hospitality that's been extended. I'm grateful to you again, Joe, and your lovely bride, Dina, your good hearts opening your home to us. I thank you so very much, and I'm also grateful to you, Brother Craig, your bride, Karen, for picking us up today and bringing us over to Justin and Elena. I appreciate you folks for opening up your good hearts, for sharing, for your kind and warm hospitality. I appreciate that so very much. And so on behalf of my bride, we thank you and for the special time we had together. I'm grateful for all of you, and I hope that we understand the importance of this lesson. So having said all of that, I want us to study together. The book of Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse 23 because we know why this is here. When you see the word therefore, you look up above to see what it's there for. It's because of the question that Peter asked, and Jesus gives him an answer, and so then he goes on to tell this story. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to sell accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to sell accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've read in commentaries and I've heard where this amount was so large that one could not pay. In fact, I've read where this might amount to maybe even 15 years of wages. Imagine that, folks. Somebody owing someone 15 years of wages. And even if he attempted to make some kind of repayment, it would only be a drop in the bucket. As a matter of fact, the text tells us that he could not pay this back. Notice what the text says. The text says, "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but as he was not able to pay, His master commanded that he be sold with all his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Let me ask you, folks, have you ever been there? You ever been in a position where you were helpless to be able to pay something that you could not repay? Notice the next response. The record says, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Do you know what this is? This is a cry for mercy. Have you ever been there? And again, oftentimes mercy and grace are used together, sometimes in the same context. One has to do with, listen, forgiveness of sin. The other one has to do with relief of consequences. Of course, those of us who are Christians, we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. God is willing to forgive us of our sins and release us from the consequences of those sins. But notice what the record goes on to say. The record says, and then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. Do you see the mercy and the grace here? But there is something else we need to see, folks, because this word here that we just read describes Jesus Christ. It describes God the Father over and over in the Bible. The Bible tells me that Jesus had compassion. You know why? Because he really cared about people. Let me tell you what compassion is, folks. Compassion involves sympathy, feeling sorry for someone else. It involves empathy, putting yourself in somebody else's place. But it goes far beyond that. Paul describes it as having bowels of mercy, being moved on the inside at the unfortunate situation of somebody else. And get this, folks, being willing to do something about it. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, what this world needs is people who have compassion. Because there are so many who are in dire straits and they need help, just like we do. And so again, I'm going to read what the record says. The servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. And then the master of that servant, he was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, when we go out from the presence of the Lord, let me tell you what, we are in trouble. He went out, the record says, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, said, pay me what you owe. Now, this is the same fellow that begged for mercy. Now, somebody owes him. But notice the contrast in the debt. The record says, he owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, let me tell you what, folks. If you want to measure what 100 denarii was in those days, I can tell you what. It was far less than what this fellow owed. That was the 15 years of wages. And so the record goes on to say, look at verse 29. It is also just like verse 26. Just peep up at verse 26. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. I think that's commendable. That when we find ourselves indebted, we need to have the right attitude with the willingness to be able to repay. This is not about financial things, folks. But the legal term that we're talking about is forgiveness. Because of our sins and our transgressions against God, Jesus is helping us to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so the fellow who had been forgiven, someone comes to him with a smaller amount. And so he asked for mercy. And I want you to notice what verse 30 says. and he would not. Now, I know all the punctuation was not in the original manuscripts, but my Bible tells me there is a comma there. And when I see a comma, I'm supposed to pause. The Bible says he would not. I'm going to tell you why there's so many problems in the world today, because people just don't want to. He would not forgive because he didn't want to forgive. I'm going to tell you why there is so much marital discord. Because one of the other parties, or maybe both of them, don't want to do what's right. We're living in a time, folks, where people go to the doctors for all kinds of things. And we're being told that we have an epidemic on our hands, with people being prescribed a pill for this and a pill for that. Can I tell you something, folks? There is not a doctor in the business, and there is not a pill on the market that's going to make you do right. If we're going to do what's right, we have to make up our minds and do what's right. He would not. He didn't want to. And we spoke last night why there's so much pain and suffering. You know why? Because people don't want to. They don't want to acknowledge that God is right. They don't want to acknowledge that God's way is best. They don't want to acknowledge that God is the one who made us, and he knows all about us, and he knows what we need. And they'd rather do it themselves. And I'm going to tell you what, when we strive to do it ourselves without God, we are going to be just like Paul said those Ephesians were. They were without God and without hope in this life. He would not. So think about that next time when somebody hurts you. And so the record goes on to say, but went out, he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him, he said to him, you wicked servant. Now remember now, this is the same fellow who had been forgiven, but now he's called wicked. And how's that about the doctrine of once saved, always saved? We could be forgiven, but if we're not willing to do what God wants us to do, folks, we could be just like this fellow right here. You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This story is not difficult to figure out. The king is God. The person who owes the unpayable debt is you or me. The person who owes the payable debt is the person who has sinned against you or me. And so what indeed is the point of all of this? The point of all of this is very simple, is that God expects us, he commands us to forgive each other. I can think of a few subjects in the area of human relationships that need discussing any more than that of forgiving those who do us wrong. Because scars remain from church troubles, families are estranged, bitterness lies in the hearts of many who call themselves children of God, brethren grow apart, and feelings of ill will are being passed on through families. And perhaps one of the hardest things required of us as children of God is to forgive when we have been mistreated. But sadly, folks, a lot of folks are going to be lost for eternity because they would not forgive. And that's the meaning of this parable. I believe this lesson is so important because, number one, I believe the purpose of the gospel, listen very carefully, is to forgive us of the wrong choices that we have made in life and then to put us on the path to make the right choices the rest of our lives. And the truth of the matter is, we have been forgiven that we might forgive, if you stop and think about it. If you look in the New Testament, there are at least two Greek words that help us to understand forgiveness, our forgiveness and the forgiveness that comes from God. I mean, for instance, I want you to turn in your Bibles back in the book of Matthew in chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount covers chapter 5, 6, and 7. But we're in Matthew in chapter 6, where Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. This is not the Lord's Prayer, as some would say, but this is simply a model prayer, the things that ought to be included in our prayers. And among the things that ought to be included in our prayers, specifically at verse 12, is, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You see, it's a legal term. It means to release one and let him go. It means to settle accounts. And so when we talk to God, if we have the privilege of talking to God, and like I said last night, I know a lot of people, the only time they want to talk to God is when they're hurting, when they need something, they want something. But those who are the adopted children of God, God has given us the avenue of prayer. Because the eyes of the Lord of the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but his face is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. So when we communicate with God and we talk to God, one of the things Jesus says we ought to remember is to remember that we sin against God and we ought to ask God for forgiveness. But keeping in mind that God expects us to be mindful of others who need our forgiveness. And I think when it's said one time, it ought to be enough, but that's not all. Look in this text as well. Drop over, if you will, to verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I believe that there are some people who think that they can hold on to their bitter envy, their anger, their hurt feelings, and then they're going to stand before God, and God is going to say, "That's okay." Do you know what God is going to tell us? He's already told us, folks. He says, "You forgive others, I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you." Don't you see that our forgiveness is at stake? And of course, we also find this word forgiveness, if you will, look in your Bibles, in the book of Matthew in chapter 9 at verse 2, because Jesus used this word in addressing the man in Capernaum who was crippled with palsy. He said, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Now, you can remember how Jesus was oftentimes accused. They were looking to try to set traps. And this is one occasion where we see that they rejected his deity, because their response, well, we know nobody could forgive sins except God. But he was, in fact, God. He was God in the flesh. And the Bible reveals to us not only the humanity of Jesus Christ, but the deity of Jesus Christ as well. And to point out that indeed he had the power to forgive and also the power to heal. You remember, he said that you might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive. I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk. And what did he do? He took up his bed and walked. And that was proof positive that he had that power. That's what Nicodemus said. We know that you're a man come from God, because no man can do these things except God be with you. But Jesus didn't just perform miracles, just to perform miracles to show off of who he was. The miracles were a claim of his deity. The seven signs of John. As a matter of fact, at the end of John's gospel, John said, "And many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written." Why? That you might believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ. And believing, you might have life in his name. And so also we find this word, another word, in Colossians chapter 2 at verse 13. Because there's a word that means literally to bestow a gift or a favor, and it is used in reference to God's forgiveness of us. And listen what the record says. "And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. And of course, it's used with reference to the forgiveness that we should have for each other. Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Now, we might summarize these definitions by saying forgiveness means that we cease trying to punish our offender because we have canceled his or her guilt or debt against us. And this is a gift that we give to him or her. And so you see, forgiveness is indeed a big deal with God. Because forgiveness is what really sets us free when others hurt us. And so now if God makes a big deal out of forgiveness, then we need to make a big deal out of it also. And we need to do what God tells us to do. And we need to let God do what God does. Now I'm still in this text over here in the book of Matthew in chapter 18. Matthew in chapter 18. If you turn back there with me. Matthew in chapter 18. I want you to notice very carefully Matthew in chapter 18. And I want you to notice the very last verse of the text we just read, where Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So we ask ourselves the question, what does Jesus mean when he says from the heart? Well, I'll tell you what he means. He means that sometimes forgiveness is fake. He means sometimes we say we forgive, but we really don't. He says that we must forgive from the heart. You know how people sometimes, somebody hurt them, they sit back and they say, oh, I sure hope you get what's coming to you. That's not forgiveness, folks. I'm not going to do you anything, but I sure hope you get what you deserve. You know, I mentioned karma last night. That's a part of some Eastern Western religion, but not what the Bible teaches. You see, because our God is a compassionate God, but our God is a God of justice also, and he will render each one according to his deeds. But I got to tell you what, just like we begin from the 130th Psalm, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, none of us could stand. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5 tells me this, that God is not pleased when we take pleasure in someone else's misfortune. Proverbs 24 at verse 17 says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord seize it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Romans 12 verse 19 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, we need to let God do what God does, and we need to do what God tells us to do. And there are some other passages, of course, that we need to consider as well. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of Mark in chapter 11. Mark in chapter 11, I believe, is somewhat of a parallel to what we're talking about here. Drop down, if you will, to verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So I ask, is he talking about posture here? Is he talking about a public prayer? I think he's talking about that when we communicate with God, we have the obligation to search our hearts and to make sure that we're not holding something against somebody else. And I think you remember what Peter said about this very same thing here. And I'm talking specifically about husbands. Remember what he said? Likewise, you husbands, you dwell with your wives according to knowledge or in an understanding way. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 7. Because you recognize that she indeed is an heir of God. She's a special vessel. God put her in a special role. And if you don't treat her the way God says you ought to treat her, he said, your prayers are not going to get through. And oh, there's another passage I know. Luke 17:3. And I know that this is the text that gives a lot of people some problems. Luke 17:3. The record says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And so the question goes like this. What if he doesn't ask? What if he doesn't ask for forgiveness? Well, let me ask the question. Do you think that Jesus is saying that if he doesn't ask, it's all right for you to hold on to your hurt feelings? Do you think that's what Jesus is saying? Folks, that's what a lot of people believe. And I'm going to tell you why they believe that. I want you to go all the way back to the text in Matthew in chapter 18. Matthew in chapter 18, because the teaching just prior to what we studied is another teaching that is sometimes ignored. In Matthew in chapter 18, I want you to notice very carefully verse 15. If your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now, you know what the aim is of all of this? He says, you talk to your brother or your sister. So what you try to do is you try to make sure that there is no misunderstanding. Because the aim is not to shame them. It's not to pressure them into an apology. It's so that you can gain your brother. That's the goal. I think this is lies at the very heart of helping us to understand troubles when there are troubles in our interpersonal relationships. Because sooner or later, you're going to rub somebody the wrong way. Sooner or later, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. And God says you don't sit idly by and do nothing about it. And if that doesn't work, he said, you go take two or more with you. And maybe that will serve as a deterrent. But you know, sometimes people still won't. They still will not. So what does he say? He says, all right. He said, if he will not hear, take with you two or more, one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth anything concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And I know that passage is oftentimes taken out of context. He's talking about the apostles and the word that God gave them that we have recorded in the New Testament. But suppose somebody sins against you. You go to them and they won't listen. So you take two or three more. They still won't listen. You tell it to the church. They still won't listen. Discipline is applied. And so the question comes, do I have to forgive him? Well, now let me ask you, what did the Lord say? Now, I know that God's forgiveness is indeed conditional. But I'm talking about our relationship with one another. If a person has been withdrawn from, they have withdrawn themselves. They have been withdrawn because of their relationship, because of the sins that they have committed. And God will not forgive them until they repent. But what about you and I in our relationship? Can we hold on to our anger and our bitterness against that person? I'll let you answer that question. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When we hold on to anger and bitterness and resentment, when people do us wrong, you know what's going to happen? It's going to hurt us more than it hurts them. Because God knew that when we deal with things like this, he knew that our cardiovascular system, that our central nervous system cannot handle this kind of stress. And God is helping us to understand how we can heal ourselves. You remember we talked about why God allows us to suffer? Do you know anybody who is suffering because somebody hurts them and they don't want to forgive them? Let me tell you, folks, you may have remembered this because in Charleston, South Carolina, there was a church shooting, a mass shooting. Dylan Roof, a 21-year-old white supremacist, he murdered 9 Afro-Americans during a prayer service. 3 other victims survived. The families of the slain, you know what they said? We forgive this man. Do you think they were hurt? And this fellow showed no remorse. Can they hold on to that? Can they hold on to that for the rest of their life? Let me ask you this. Do you remember when Jesus was suspended upon the cross? And you have to look at Luke's account, because all of the gospel accounts reveal to us a crucifixion. But Luke's account is a little bit different, because it described the scene at the cross. And there are 2 thieves, one on each side. And they had been reviling, but one of the thieves has a change of mind. And I think that tells us you can change your mind all the way up until the point where you take your last breath. You see, because after that, you do not have the power of choice. But he turned to the Lord and he said, Lord, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And remember what the Lord said. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. And remember what the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let me ask you, those soldiers down there, the religious leaders, did they ask for that? I think that tells us, as Jesus is our example, that we can live our lives and we can release these things and turn them over to God. And we can live our lives as God wants us to live. And so what that tells me is that Jesus did not go to the grave harboring anger and bitterness to all the things that they did towards him. He released it. He let it go. He gave it to the Father. But can I tell you this? Do you know when that prayer was answered? That prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were saved. That prayer was answered when even some of the priests were obedient to the gospel. That prayer was answered when we see conversions over and over in the Bible. God is willing to forgive men. You know why? Because if we would mark iniquities, none of us could stand, because there is forgiveness with God. Our God is a compassionate God. And do you remember the book of Acts in chapter 7? After Stephen stood up and he gave the history of Israel, and at the very end, he made the application. You say, you're the one. You killed Jesus. And they picked up rocks and they started throwing them at him. And just before he died, he said, Lord, lay not this sin at the charge. You know what that tells me? That Stephen did not go to his grave harboring bitterness or anger or resentment. And can I tell you, when Stephen's prayer was answered, it was answered in the very next chapter, in chapter 9, when Saul of Tarsus, the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he obeyed the gospel. Then you find an example in chapter 10, in chapter 16, in chapter 18, and you continue to see that God is willing to forgive men. And so I know people make excuses why they won't forgive. Let me give you one other illustration. And God forbid that a husband or wife would be unfaithful to one another. And they would commit adultery. But when that happens, Jesus says in Matthew in chapter 19, he says, the party that is innocent can put away that party for the cause of fornication. Now, there are 2 choices that could be made. Number 1, the one that is innocent, they can take that option and put them away, or they can take them back. But then there's another option, and that is forgiveness. As hard as it is, as tough as it is, God still expects us to forgive. Doesn't have to take them back, but God expects us to forgive. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of women and there's a lot of men who are walking around here hurt because they have been hurt by their mate. And God forbid that any of us would do that. But people still do that because they won't do what God says they ought to do. To be faithful to your wife, to be faithful to your husband. And people, because of lust, and we'll talk about how to live in this world and not be a part of it. That's a challenge for us. But God does expect us to forgive. Can you imagine the heart of God when his son was upon the cross? Can you imagine the pain and the hurt that he felt? And I tell you what, human beings will do some terrible things to other human beings. But God wants us to know that we are different. He wants us to be different. He wants us to understand that he wants us to be like him. And so some excuses. People say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Now, people who say that, they don't really mean that. Now, what they really mean is when they say that is, I'll forgive you, but I don't like you. You see, and the next time you do something wrong, I'm going to get you. So you better walk right. And you need to stay right. And I know what God said. In the book of Hebrews, he says, and the sins and iniquities I will remember no more. There are some things that God can do that we can't do. I mean, we human beings. God made us that way. There's some things that enter into our minds we just cannot erase. That's the way God made us. But if we release them and treat them right, we can learn how to practice forgiveness as God tells us. People say, well, I can't forgive because the hurt is too big. Well, let me ask you this. Folks, you think it's going to shrink? You think it's going to get smaller? The bigger the hurt is all the more reason why we need to forgive. You know why? Because it will eat us inside out. And our souls are not worth losing over. Hanging on to our own hurt feelings. Release it to God. And let God begin the healing process. To use us that we might be able to one day teach somebody else, help somebody else who might be dealing with the very same thing that we're dealing with. And then people will say things like, well, I can't forgive, but I guess time will heal all wounds. No, it won't. Just because a few days pass on a calendar doesn't mean that thing is going to go away. Some things just don't change with time. We have these automobiles now. You know, don't you just love it? And on the dashboard, sometime that little light will pop up. Service engine soon. Don't you love it? Let me tell you what, folks. Just because you take a piece of tape and put over the light doesn't mean that that problem is fixed. You got to bring it to the mechanic. Dads, mama needs mama time. And you got this infant. And mama takes the baby to dad. She said, dad, I want you to watch the baby. And so, you know, us dads, we always got stuff to do. So dad's watching the baby. And all of a sudden, he hears it. Burp. And dad goes to the baby and says, well, I'm going to wait a while. Maybe this is going to go away. No, it's not. You're going to have to change the diaper. Some things just don't change with time. God said that there are certain things that need our attention. And this is one of them. Hurt feelings and interpersonal relationships. And so what does it mean really to forgive? Well, first of all, it means forgiveness involves a kind attitude. You know what I think about when I think about a kind attitude? I think of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let me ask you what, folks. Have you ever hurt somebody else? You ever had somebody hold something over your head and they won't release it and let it go? You know what that's a terrible fear. It doesn't matter what you try to do and they will just hold it over. You ever been there? And so because I've sinned against God, and God has forgiven me of all my wrong choices in life, and he puts me on the path to make the right choices for the rest of my life. When somebody hurts me, I'm going to try to check myself that I'm not going to say something that I ought not say. I remember what Colossians 4:6 says. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. You know, y'all can't see me when the blood rushes to my head. But there's a lot of you, when you blush, I can see the blood go right up to your head. You can't see it in me, but I'll tell you what the feeling is there. And sometimes you feel like you want to explode, especially when people hurt you and people treat you wrong. And God said, look at what they did to my son. And look at why they did it to him. But you look at what I did for you. I sent my son to be the savior of the world for you and all of your sins and trespasses. And I'll tell you what else it means. It means forgiveness involves forgetting. But what does it mean to forget? It's impossible for a person to completely obliterate the wrong from his mind, but rather it means to not hold the person accountable for it anymore. When forgiveness is granted, that should end the matter. It should never again be dredged up or held against the one who has been forgiven. Remember, it's like Joseph. You know, the Joseph we read about in the Bible, the first one. Not Joseph, the husband of Mary, but the first one, remember? When his brothers arrived in Egypt, he had already forgiven them. And they thought he was going to take revenge. He said, God made this happen so I could be your savior, so to speak. God was using his foreknowledge, and he was using me. But you're my family. And don't you see, folks, that's what we are. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds. We're family. And what do? Families forgive each other. That's one of the things we ought to learn in our own families. But in the family of God, we forgive each other. And we forget about the wrongs that we have committed. Wrong that others have committed against us. And it also means forgiveness should be given by the golden rule. As I just mentioned, the Lord tells us that if we forgive from the heart, he will also forgive us. So last but not least, here is our final application. We can receive the forgiveness of God if we are willing to extend forgiveness to others. Second of all, the release of negative emotions. In other words, here is how we can release the stress. We don't have to go to the doctor to get a pill. We don't have to get a prescription. What we need to do is read our Bibles and just simply do what God tells us to do when somebody hurts us. Here's how you can deal with that. Go to the person. Talk to the person. Pray for the person. And when you pray to God, call their name. Call them by name. Bring their name before the throne. Try having more compassion. Remember sympathy, empathy, and feeling for another person and being willing to do something about it. And also, it's a blessing to the offender. It's something that we give to them. Like God has given to us, mercy, grace. And last but not least, it could and would restore or prevent divisions. Divisions in our home and family. Divisions in the workplace. Divisions at school. Divisions in our neighborhood. Divisions in our nation. But even more than that, division within the family of God. The lesson is yours. What a simple lesson. And I know it's hard. But I tell you what's not hard. What is not hard is to understand what God asks of us when people do us wrong. He asks us to learn how to effectively deal with it not ignore it, but use the steps that God gives us so that we can live in harmony with one another and gain our brothers and sisters so together we can have an impact on this world. The lesson is yours. If you're not a child of God, I want to extend God's invitation. He wants to forgive us. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's the distinctive nature of the Lord's church. He teaches us. He disciplines us. He shows us. He guides us. He helps us to understand some of the difficult things that we have to live in the flesh because the devil is busy. He wants to use us too. Let God use you to his glory. Accept his forgiveness, faith, repentance, and baptism, and strive to live together in harmony with your brothers and sisters in Christ until God calls us home. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come while together we stand and sing.